morning. I am going to do a bit of a review this morning on something that Ian taught a couple of weeks ago. But I'm going to make you work really hard as well because we don't have any printed notes this morning. So you're going to have to move those fingers quickly because we are going to be going to quite a few scriptures. But I'll give you a heads up and tell you that the first scripture is Matthew 24. And then the second one is John chapter 14. So if you've got a marker, you can put it there. And then we can whip through these scriptures fairly quickly. I really wanted to review something in Matthew that Ian taught, because when he taught it, it really struck me. And it really had an impact when I was reading it. And that is Matthew chapter 24. And most of you know that Matthew chapter 24 is a dialogue that Christ gives explaining about the signs of the end times. So we don't have the time this morning to read the whole chapter, but we're going to start off in verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 13. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." When Ian taught that a few weeks ago, I never really looked at the verses at the end, verse 10 through verse 13. And it was quite chilling to me in some ways to read that, that at the end times, many people will turn away from the faith. People that had already believed would turn away from the faith. But not only that, they would also betray each other and also hate one another. Wow, that amazes me to think that believers who once followed Christ, that once loved him, would actually turn away from the faith. They would hate each other and betray each other, their brothers. And not only that, they would also, their love would grow cold. The love of many would grow cold. And we also have been looking in quite great detail, John chapter 8, over the last few weeks. And Ian has been showing us some great truths from these scriptures. We looked in detail about the Jews that were claiming to be Abraham's children. And again, another very sobering section when we read the verse that Jesus was actually speaking to those Jews who had believed. Those were people that had believed in Christ, that had followed him, past tense, that had loved him at one point. But the end of that record in John 8, it says that those Jews that had once believed picked up stones to stone him, to stone Christ. How does that happen? How does somebody that once loved Christ, that once followed him, that once believed in him, how does that happen that they want to stone him? And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at how we as believers who are in the faith just now can prevent being part of those that leave the faith, that betray each other, that hate each other. How can we prevent ourselves from being those people whose love waxes cold? And that's what I want to look at. You know, for years I've read John 8. I've read that section many times. But I always believed that it was about people that were demon-possessed. I think I was actually taught that at one point. And I didn't read the context. I never read that verse that said that Jesus was talking to those Jews who had believed. Sometimes we read these sections of scripture and we think that, oh, that must be talking about people who reject God. That must be talking about people that have never believed in him. or those that are demon possessed, we never actually stop to read the verses and see that it's actually addressed to those people who had believed. You know, and none of us can ever think that we're beyond that. And what we want to look at is we want to try and prevent that ever happening in our lives. Because we believe that we are in the end times and we're seeing a lot of this happen. The love of the many growing cold, waxing cold. And we want to make sure that we are doing everything to stand firm until the end. Because what happens? What did it say in verse 13? But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So how do we become saved? By standing firm to the end. And this is not talking about redemption. This is talking about at the judgment. How will we be saved? We'll be saved at the judgment. And how does that happen? If we stand firm. If we don't allow our love to become cold. If we don't start hating and betraying each other, losing the faith. It's so hard for me to believe that those that once loved Christ could pick up stones to stone him. They walked with him. They saw the miracles. And yet, they didn't stand firm on the truth. And they got to the point then where they picked up stones to stone him. The title of my teaching this morning is Standing Firm to the End. And I think that we've all got to be aware that just because we believed in Christ, or just because we claim to be a Christian, that doesn't give us some automatic immunization spiritually. It doesn't mean to say that we are so immune that the devil can't touch us. The devil is a very, very powerful spirit. And sometimes we underestimate that. We think, whoa, I'm a Christian. Nothing and nobody can touch me. Well, believe me, he is a roaring lion. He is actually actively seeking who he can devour. And we don't want to be devoured. God doesn't want us to be devoured. And he's going to help us through scripture to stand firm until the end. But we can't be so naive spiritually to think that we cannot be touched. Because those believers, those that walked in faith at one point, were somehow deceived into stoning Christ. If you turn to John chapter 14, we're going to look at verses 15 and verses 23. Christ said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." It's so easy to say, I love Christ. It's so easy to say, I am a Christian. But Christ tells us, if you love me, then you will obey my commands. That is the proof that you do love me, is that you're living according to my commandments. It's easy to fall in love with Christ. It's easy to fall in love with the whole concept of being a Christian. The true proof that you actually love Christ is that you are prepared to do his commandments, that you will do whatever it takes to walk according to his word. And if you don't read the word, guess what? You won't know his commandments. And if you don't know his commandments, you can't do his commandments. And if you don't do his commandments, you can't love him. You know, love is action. Love is doing. How many times do we see that or hear it? That love is doing. And the doing as a Christian is living according to his commandments. Verse 23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Skip over to chapter 15, verse 12. The Gospel of John is just one of my favorite sections in the scriptures. If you ever get a chance, it's great just to sit and read it from start to finish. We don't have time to go through all the chapters this morning, but when you get home, I would really encourage you to go through all these references. Go to Matthew chapter 24 and read the whole chapter. Go to John 14 and 15 and read the whole thing. And it gives you a better idea of the context. But in chapter 15, verse 12, Christ says, "My command is this." This is one of his commands. We have been looking at, if we want to love him, we have to keep his commandments. So here is one of his commands. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." So this is a commandment. This is one of the things that we have to obey in our lives. And that is loving one another. And he's talking about loving the brethren, loving the brothers and sisters in Christ. Now the Bible tells us that we have to be kind to everybody. everybody, whether they're believers or non-believers. But we're especially to be good to those that are in the household, to those that are part of the family. That is our priority. And that's the commandment that Christ left us, is that we have to love each other. We have to be willing to lay down our lives for each other. And the greatest way that in this day and time we can lay down our lives is to serve one another. How do you know that you're actually loving your brothers? How do you know that? 1 John chapter 5 tells us very clearly how we know when we're loving our brothers. So that's the epistle at the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 5 verse 2. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Don't you just love it when the Bible gives you the explanation? When it's really simply spelled out for you? That really helps me, because I think in very simple terms. And I love when I see a colon, because it tells me that the writer is then going to explain what he's just said. So if you ask the question, well, how do I know if I'm really loving the brethren? How do I know if I'm loving my brothers and sisters? Well, we know. If we're loving God and we're carrying out his commandments, then we know that we're loving the brethren. Because Christ just told us one commandment, to love one another. And that is a simplicity of it. You know, there's nothing difficult about what I'm teaching and sharing this morning. It's very basic. It's a very basic message. You don't need to be a Greek scholar. You don't need to understand Hebrew. You just need to read the Bible and really think logically about it, to read and reread. Look at the context. See who Christ is talking to, who the epistles are addressed to. That's very important. So we know that if we love God and we keep his commandments, then we're loving the brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is what will prevent us from betraying each other, from hating each other, from our love waxing cold. That'll prevent us from turning away from the faith. That'll help us to stand firm to the end. If we can just love each other, if we can love God first, keep his commandments, and then we know for a surety that we will be loving each other. I want to look at the ultimate example that Christ left us about how we can serve and love one another. And we're going to pick that up in John chapter 13. I should have told you to keep your marker there, shouldn't I? John chapter 13. And we're going to read about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. This is one of the last things that Jesus ever did for his disciples. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And I want to pause there for a minute, because it says he now showed them the full extent of his love. So we know that anything that's coming up is going to be a demonstration of Christ's love to his disciples. So that should really get our attention. Because if we want to know how Christ loved his disciples to the fullest, then we got to listen and we got to read what he did. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And we're looking at the commands that Jesus left us so that we can walk in love, so that we can serve each other in order to prevent us hating each other, betraying each other, walking away from the faith. And this is the command, the example that he left us. You know, he was saying to them, look, if I am your Lord and Master, if I am willing to humble myself to do the most menial task, that's what you should do for each other. You know, he was showing them that no matter how great you think you are, that in order to serve each other, we have to be willing to do the most basic, mundane tasks to serve. And I know that today we don't wash each other's feet, and Christ is not telling us that we have to start washing each other's feet. It was an Eastern custom. You know, they didn't have nice leather shoes like us or Uggs. They just had little sandals, basic sandals with a little leather thong. And the roads were very dusty. There was no tarmac. It was very dusty roads. And they didn't wear shoes or their sandals in the house. So they would leave them outside. And then when they came into somebody's house, normally the servant would wash their feet. So this was a very significant act of humility on the part of Christ. He was showing them that he, as their Lord and Master, he was the great I Am. And yet he was willing to humble himself to be the lowest of the low, to be the greatest servant. And that was the example that he left us. That was the last thing that he did for them, to show them, look, this is what you have to do. This is the extent of your love. This is how you're going to prevent your love waxing cold. If you just love each other and serve each other and be willing to do what it takes to be servant of all. You know, if you arrive at church 11:01 every Sunday, and the minute the amen is said at the end, you're out the door, and nobody ever hears from you or sees you from one Sunday to the next, how can you serve each other? How can you love one another? And that's what we have to do. We have to love each other. We have to be so interested in each other's life that we can know and find ways that we can serve each other. Verse 16. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. How will we be blessed? We will be blessed when we serve, when we become the greatest servant, when we humble ourselves to take care of each other, to love each other. That's how we become blessed. If we go back to 1 John chapter 3, you know, I was very blessed this week to see love being demonstrated among our church. And you all know that Lisanne was in a car crash, which I must add, was not her fault. It was absolutely miraculous because she walked away without any serious damage. She had whiplash and soft tissue bruising, but apart from that, she walked away, and we are very blessed and thankful for that. But I think what was such a blessing was that so many of you sent her messages to encourage her, to help her, and, you know, we've all been rallying round to spoil her a bit. It won't last forever, Lisanne, you do realise that. You better make the most of it. But I was encouraged to see how everybody just rallied round her to bless her. And also, I know that Danielle was ill this week, and I know that Louise spent a good deal of time praying with her and trying to help her and encouraging her and blessing her. And that's what it takes. That's what we have to do. That has to become our lifestyle, that we're looking out for each other, that we're loving one another. Because we know that when we are walking according to the commandments, that we are loving each other. And that's what we have to do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. I love it. This is how we know what love is. Here's the explanation. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And that's what we've been seeing today. It's not enough to say that you love Jesus. It's not enough to say that you're a Christian. Your whole life has to exemplify that. You have to be willing to do something. Jesus Christ was willing to wash their feet. He didn't just tell them that he loved them. He was willing to do something. And that's what we have to be doing. We have to be looking for ways to show our love, not just to say it, but to actually demonstrate it. Because by doing that, we will ensure that we don't walk away from the faith. We will be sure that we don't betray and hate each other. That our love then won't be cold, won't become cold. Because we know that the devil is out to trip us up. He's out just to deceive us. And many have been deceived. Many people have been deceived. Do you know that the devil can actually steal the word of the kingdom from your heart? Did you know that? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's after the word of the kingdom, the truth about the resurrection, the truth about judgment, all the things that we are teaching. He wants to take that out of your heart. And that's why we always have to endeavor to love each other, to serve each other, to stand firm to the end. And we can do that when we just continue to stand on the word and follow the commandments that Christ has given us. Back to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Verse 34 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." This is another commandment. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." By this, by what? By our love. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Isn't that amazing? How Christ says that all men, not just believers, but all men will know that we are his disciples by what? By the love that we have for each other. Do you know, people can come into this room, people that are not even yet redeemed, and they will know that we are Christ's followers and his disciples just by the love that we have for each other. Not because the worship is so hot, not because the coffee is great, not because we have great surroundings or we have a room full of people. Do you know, numbers don't really matter? When I got saved, I went to a Bible fellowship for the first time. There was 5 people, including me. 5 people. And do you know something? That was the first time I ever heard the word being taught from the Bible. I never heard anybody teaching a message from the Bible. But when I heard that, my heart was just on fire. The words that I heard that day just really had an impact on me. It wasn't because there was 500 people in the room. There was only 4 other people. And it was insignificant. It meant nothing to me that there was only a few people there. What meant everything to me was the truth that I was hearing from the Bible for the first time in my life. And it gripped me. And I didn't think, oh, I'm never going back because there's only 4 people there. I couldn't get enough of the word that was taught. It was insignificant to me, the numbers. So when people come into our assembly, into our church, don't think, oh, well, you know, there's not an awful lot of people. It's the word that changes people's life. It's the word that continues to change our lives. That's the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. It's not numbers. It's not how entertaining we are. Because believe me, Ian and I cannot entertain you. But we can endeavor to teach you the truth of the word. And it's that will change your life. It's not all the rigmarole. It's not all the paraphernalia that comes with doing church. It's loving each other. It's serving each other. And it's just putting everybody else above yourself. And that's what will draw people to God. That's what will draw them. When they see the love that we have, they'll think, wow, I've never seen this before. Because do you know that the world will hate you because you're following Christ? Don't expect to be loved by the world. And don't be surprised when you're persecuted by the world. You know, sometimes even just driving shows you how unloved you are. You go out in a great mood. I've seen myself going into the car, putting a worship CD on, and then by the time I come home, I'm totally frazzled because so many people have cut me off. So many people have honked their horn at me because I'm not fast enough. Or I haven't zoomed through the lights when it turns green. So you come back home, you think, whoa, nobody out there loves me. And that's true, and that's why we have to be especially good to each other. And I want to finish off with a great section in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and I can't see it any better than Paul did to the Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 1, and we're going to read through to verse 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Isn't that the example that Christ left us when he washed their feet? That he humbled himself and he thought of the disciples as better than himself. And that's what we have to do. Verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's so easy in this day and time to get caught up with your own stuff. I think we're all guilty of that from time to time. That we have so much stuff going on in our lives that we just get caught up with our own things, with our own interests. But there we are being encouraged by God through Paul that we have to put everybody else's interests above our own. That's how you love. That's how you serve. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Our Lord and Master made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself and he became obedient. These are two words that we really have to focus in on. Humility and obedience. Obedience to the commandments of God and humility so that we can serve each other, that we can put each other's interests above those of our own. Verse 9, therefore, because of all that, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we too can be exalted. We too can be exalted when we stand firm to the very end. Because when we stand at that judgment seat, we can then be confident that we will be exalted. Why? Because we have lived our life serving each other, loving each other, obeying his commands. And that's how we know that we will stand firm to the end. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the greatness of your love. We thank you for the word that you've given us so that we can understand you and see your heart to each of us. We thank you, Father, that we can decide this day forward that we will try and serve each other better, that we will love each other greater, that we will put each other's interests above those of our own, and that we will humble ourselves to be the greatest servant. Father, give us grace to do this. Give us grace in those days when we just don't feel like it, when we just can't be bothered, when we're too lazy, when we're too engulfed in our own affairs. Father, give us grace so that we can stand firm to the end, so that we can stand at the judgment seat and be confident, because we know that we have done everything in our power to love and to bless and to serve each other. Father, we thank you for giving us your Son, Christ Jesus, as such a great example, and that we can endeavor to live up to that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.